Father God, we bless and worship you this evening. We know that today we are celebrating your death on the cross. We have come physically to church to celebrate what you have done for us this Good Friday evening. We say thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. Thank you for dying on the cross to save us from our sins. Thank you that because of the blood of Jesus, because of the cross of Jesus, we have total victory over every situation in the name of Jesus. Speak to us. We pray for your power and your anointing to bless us as we hear your word. May none of us leave the same. In Jesus' name. And the saints said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe that today is going to be a good day.
Yes.
Amen. Today is going to be a good day. You see, today we must, anytime we have special services, Easter, Christmas,
yes,
we must make it a point, we must try to be in church. Amen? Amen. Even for those who are watching, hallelujah. You might not be in this church, you might be in another church. I want to encourage you that don't stay home. Don't even stay home to watch watch Facebook Live or YouTube. You have to be in person because Jesus died. Hallelujah. He was thirsty and died. That's right. He was thirsty. He died for our sins. It cost him everything.
Amen.
It should be able to cost you a pay, a day and a half or whatever.
Right.
Or is it or just relaxation? Hallelujah. Because it cost him. Amen. Or you don't agree with it?
Oh, yes.
It cost him everything. It cost him his life. And that's why we are celebrating. When it comes to Christmas also, you and I must make sure. It is a must for the Christian.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be in church, to celebrate what he did. The carols night, all those things are events to celebrate Jesus.
Right.
You see, Jesus wants to be remembered. And that's why he instituted the communion. He said, do this as oft as you can in remembrance of me.
Yes.
As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's a blessing to celebrate what Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen. When we celebrate, he's going to take us seriously. Like, wow, this person. Of course, there are many ways to appreciate what Jesus did, more than coming to church. What Jesus did on the cross, the basic is to come to church for it. But you and I must live our lives as a testimony, or live our lives as a living sacrifice. Let me show you a verse in Romans chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 3. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 1 and 2 we are looking for. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 12. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, I plead with you, because of God's mercies, in light of God's mercies, that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice. A living what? Sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Wait here. Look at it in Amplified. And it even amplifies it. I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God. If you and I believe that he's shown us mercy, we must make it a point that from today, I'm going to do what I can to show God that I appreciate it, which includes doing the right thing, which includes serving God, which includes being in tune with the Lord, which includes doing what you and I need to do to show God, hallelujah, that we appreciate it. To make a decisive dedication of your bodies. A decisive dedication of your bodies. A what? Decisive. So it's a decision. I know what I'm talking about. Many times, people, when I was in the world, I was a student in university, give your life to Christ, I'll weep sometimes. I'll say, I'll raise my hands, I surrender to Jesus. Give it a couple of days, I'll be back in the club or drinking or smoking. And then, another time, someone would tell me the same, give me the gospel, and I'll say, I want to give my life to Jesus. It kept on happening. At a point, I wasn't sure that I can be saved. Of course, that was the devil telling me that. He saves to the uttermost.
Yes.
So it was the devil telling me. Until I made a decisive decision. It was at that decision. When every single person, all we need is a decisive decision. I decide that from today, I'm going to be a serious Christian.
Yes.
I decide it from today. It's that simple. And I know what I'm talking about. There's a lady who is now a pastor who was a deer. You know, just bouncing around. And she's now a pastor. But she made a statement. She says, I want to be a good Christian. I want to be close to you. Of course, it has nothing to do with me. But I want to be close to you and I want to be a good Christian. So her being close to me was just, as she comes to me, Bible, bishop's messages, bishop's books. That's the point. She's not a pastor because she decided. She decided. Hallelujah. And so you and I must decide this Good Friday that from today I want to be a good Christian. I want to be a good Christian, so good that from now on my body is Jesus. But it's for Jesus. I decide, so from now on, anything that has to do with Jesus is primary. To the extent that every single boss I've had, many people don't understand it, every single boss I've had knows that when it comes to church, Christian activities, David, we will have to bend before David bends. And it's never cost me a job. It's rather helped me.
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
It's not once for since 2001. No. Yes, since 2001. It's always helped me. If there's a church, even a camp meeting with bishop, I have a church activity. Okay, you are excused. Because, so far as I'm concerned, that must be proton first. Because he gave us all. We are not obeying to the point of dying, the Bible says. We are not resisting to the point of death. Not to the point of death. That will, you see, any time we give to Christ, we get back more.
Amen.
If you give your body to Christ, how can that body be sick? Glory.
Hallelujah.
To Jesus. Yes.
Amen.
Whatever we commit to him. And no devil can touch your body or your life.
No.
The devil can attempt to do so many things, but nothing can affect you.
Amen.
I know someone who was sleeping and then saw some. It's amazing, but felt a presence. You know how when someone sits on your bed or someone jumps on your bed, felt a presence jump on the bed and touch the body and ran away. Because the person was about to shout Jesus, so run before he heard the name. The devil heard that name. Glory to God. I'm preaching. Oh, because that's from the blood. So nothing can affect you. So decisive dedication. Make a decisive dedication. I've realized that if you and I don't decide, we will not do certain things. And of course, decisive in different aspects. Some people need to make a decisive dedication on your tithe. Someone could have a decisive dedication in their tithe, but they need to have a decisive dedication to close their zip. Don't shut me down, preaching good. That's an example of a decisive dedication. Another decisive dedication is that you've closed your zip, but your tithing, you have not closed, you've not released it. You've closed it, you've closed that door. Another example is your time. In fact, God is looking for time. God wants our time more than our money.
Preach it again.
I'm talking about Easter Sunday. He gave his life. Time is what? What is time? They say time is money. You see, time is very important. Time is valuable. Important people and successful people have little time to do many things because they are busy with important things. But nothing is more important than God's things. God wants my time and your time.
Yes.
And time for what? Time for whatever he wants. Starting with the Bible and your time of prayer. That's the primary time he wants. The Bible says that Jesus, when he called the 12, he first appointed them to be with him first. And then to send them forth. So our primary number one, you see, how do we show our appreciation? We show our appreciation by making a decisive decision. Now that decisive decision, God wants my time and your time. How many can I agree with the fact that time to pray or time to even read the Bible, many Christians don't have it. That's why he wants our time. If you call the Christian of the United States, the Christians in America or in the world, you have a good number that do well. But I'm saying if you call the average Christian, ask yourself what I'm about to ask. How many pray an hour a day? There'll be confusion in the camp. How many pray for 1 hour a day, or even 4 days a week, or even 3 days a week, an hour, or even listen to audio Bible or read their Bibles once or twice a week. That's why he wants our time. And if God wants your time, coming to church is basic time. Coming to church at least once a week is basic. I'm not talking about watching Facebook. Yeah? I'm not talking about watching Facebook. Facebook are for those who... No, honestly speaking, if in heaven... Is any time I'm about to make a statement, I ask myself, God who is on the throne in heaven now, what is he saying? What would he have said if he was speaking? No. Facebook are for people... It's an extra... Hebrews 10:25. What a message. Oh, glory. Let's find out whether God will support what I'm saying. Hebrews 10:25. We'll use Amplified and then King James. Hey! Am I speaking the word of God? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together. Not assemble on Facebook. Those on Facebook, it should rather be, live should be just a few, and people should watch it after church.
Yeah.
Not forsaking, or those who don't go to church at all, on church people, they should be watching Facebook also, because they don't go to church and they're just watching. Not for the Christian, how? Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers. As is the habit of some people, because in those days people were not coming to church. Just like now. It was from a long time. As is the habit of some people. So I want to squash this thing before the devil takes charge of this Facebook thing. But admonishing, warning is different from you are working or there's an important thing or you are sick. Even though for me, if I'm sick, even when I had a very high temperature, I had to come to church to preach. I didn't leave it for my assistant. Because God, not because I don't want him to. I can sit there for my assistant to preach. But I came to church because it's my duty to God. And I'm not going to tell God that because I'm sick, I won't do it. That's the only reason. One and so some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. I remember there was a time, at this Easter Sunday, Easter Friday, Good Friday, Easter Saturday, Sunday. God bless your life. Amen. I remember one day, I was snowed in. I think I almost cried in church. I was snow. Yeah, my daughter remembers. I fought tears because I couldn't go to church on a Sunday. But thank God, God used it for his benefit. They showed a video of Bishop, and it was fantastic, as usual. But I was snowed. I couldn't leave. I was furious, making calls. Why? Because it is important to Jesus. Not forsaking or neglecting, NLT. Hey! And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. This is 2,000 years ago. Wow. How much more is it now? His time is even nearer. And then King James. So if Jesus came down physically from heaven, he would say, good job, David. What you are saying is true. He's not going to say anything different because he can't go against his word. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So you see, from Good Friday, from today, may every Christian do well.
Amen.
To at least attend church once a week. That's basic.
Amen.
Because this verse is not saying, if you read this verse, you can tell that it's not a once a week thing. This is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look at Acts chapter 2. This, so, and then
yes.
I'll continue preaching.
Yep.
Wow. Acts chapter 2, let's start from verse 38. What do you think? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, by the time we finish this convention, there will be so much spiritual power.
Amen.
Hey, I said there will be so much
yes.
spiritual power.
Amen.
And the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, those who say that the Holy Ghost is for them of yesterday and yesteryear. For the promise is unto you, who is the you? The people there at the time. And to your children, it has nothing to do with you and I yet, because we are not their children. And to all that are far off, glory to God, I'm in there, and you are in there. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I fit in there nicely. Let's continue. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. We need to baptize people shortly. Within the next, please. Those who need to be baptized must be baptized. Hallelujah. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Yes. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Let's continue. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued monthly with one accord in the church, the temple. No, monthly. And they some people have written a Bible, rewritten a Bible. And they continued monthly with one accord in the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. But there were doctors in this church. Luke was a doctor. They were accountants. So it's not just for people who didn't work. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Ladies and gentlemen, the blood of Jesus. Let's offer our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Let's go back to that verse and then I'll just touch on a few things. Today is just encouraging us to do well. Amen. Tomorrow, God willing, we are going to go into different things. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. From this Easter, Good Friday, may we be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the word of God. I pray that the word of God who came down from heaven to die on the cross for our sins, we would eat his flesh. We will eat his flesh and drink his blood. Because Jesus said, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has life. For my flesh is meat indeed. Hey, and my blood is drink indeed. They didn't understand what he was saying, so many left him. All he meant was that, look, eat my word, drink my blood, eat of the communion, drink of the blood. And remember that his flesh is the word. His word, his flesh is the word of God. So to please Jesus and for Jesus to be happy with you and I, let's get the word in. Let's hold the word of God in our bosom, or is it by our bosom? Let's love his word. Amen. Get the word in. Get the Bible. Audio Bible. Amen. Read the Bible. Amen. And God will bless you. Amen. Now, what are some of the things that Jesus' blood did for us? Just give us 3 points for tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ saves us from sin. Now, do you know the blood of Jesus flowed from certain places? The blood of Jesus, it flowed from certain places. When they beat Jesus, the blood began to flow from his body and his back. And remember that it wasn't ropes only, but they had metal and glass on, and bones, especially bones, on the end of the ropes, the whip. Then it attaches itself on the flesh, peels it off. That's what was done to Jesus. Pulls out. When you read Isaiah, it says that he was so mad, his face was so mad and so disfigured that he did not look like a human being. Jesus. On Good Friday, they pluck his beard. Look, beard. He had a lot of beard. They pluck. I mean, imagine your beard being forced out. You are not shaving. Oh Lord Jesus, the blood. All for you and I. He said, "Did you not know that I could send 12? Ask my Father to send 12 legions of angels, which would have destroyed the earth." 12 legions of angels. The next place, the crown of thorns, blood flowed down from his head because of you and I. And they pressed it down in his head. The blood flowed. Passion of the Christ was a good attempt to explain what happened to Jesus. But that was like 0.001%. Because at least we could see his face. When you read Isaiah 52, 53, it talks about how you could not recognize him. His face, and people had to turn their faces from him because of how, when you see someone's face disfigured, it's hard to look at the person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Isaiah 52, 14. It's hard to look at the face. Let's start from 13. I said the blood began to flow for you and I. Because his blood needed to flow, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It means that blood needed to be shed. His blood needed to be shed because a life must be exchanged for another life. I've told you that one already, right? Yes. So I won't go into that. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Talking about Christ. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so mad more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Let's look at it in NLT, verse 14 and then 15. Now this is Jesus' face. Crown. And when we went to Jerusalem, they showed us an example. I'm sure it's a nice version of the thorns. When you hold it, you can bleed. It can cut you. Just holding the thing, it can enter into your skin. And they put a crown of thorns in his head and squeezed it down. Many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. That's why I said the Passion of the Christ was a very good attempt, because, I mean, it's not possible to be able to bring it up. Because remember that many of the one reason why he died before the thieves was that many of the thieves were not scared. Remember that Pontius Pilate sketched him, allowed him to be sketched because he wanted to free him. So sketch him. So he had extra whips. Because, yes, he didn't do anything for our sins. So imagine. Many were amazed when they saw him beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. Look at it in NIV. This is Jesus. I said, this is Jesus. NIV. Just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form so mad beyond human likeness. On Good Friday. And then it's difficult to sacrifice time to pray to such a person. Or it's difficult to sacrifice time to go to a shelter to say Jesus loves you to somebody. Or it's difficult to go on outreach to say Jesus loves you and died for you. Verse 15. So will he spring. Yes. Okay, very good. They nailed his hands with a 6-inch nail and a big hammer. Blood flowed through his hand. Now, there are two theories. Whichever one it means, I can explain it. Yes. Some say he had to be crucified here because the bone here is strong enough to support the body. So he had to be crucified here, like this. But I say it's a very simple explanation why it could be. Because the bones is not strong enough. Why not? They tie something on the hand. Simple. Do you understand? The cross. Abby, take, pretend, what, is there a rope?
And then get a hammer.
Yes, and a rope. Well, anyway, he was on the floor, so I can't do the example properly because I have to be on the floor. Because they nailed him on the floor first and they carried. Yeah, yeah, on the. Yeah, so, no, it was done before. But what I mean is that the his hand was supported on the stick, yeah. On the cross. That was what was keeping his hands from falling, because this will not be enough. Do you get what I'm saying? So that theory that it has to be here does not hold all the time. Do you understand? Yeah. So the skeptics, it doesn't hold. Hallelujah. So, 6 inch. Hey. I don't think you've experienced, No. I don't think you've had a nail. How many have accidentally, even a needle in your hand? Or the door accidentally gets your hand, and a 6 inch nail through the hand into wood, big enough to pierce through. That is painful, but let's continue. Then they took his other hand and nailed it. Okay. Then they took his feet. That one is even. Hey. Then they took him. Took both feet and nailed his feet. The blood was coming from the feet. Now, this is the feet. And so it must be a very big nail. Now, the bone in the feet. Hey! Wicked man. Into the boat. I mean, just picture a nail, small nail, entering that part of your body. And this one went from one into the other, into the wood. And they did it in such a way that the cross is here, and then they have something here that can keep the feet, the feet will be on it, and then they nail it. The blood flowed. The blood flowed, and he was naked, because crucifixion, whether it was invented by the Persians or not, the Romans used it a lot to scare people. So the Romans used it for troublemakers and people who fought the king Caesar, or people who were against the king, to make sure that people were so terrified of it that people would behave. Crucifixion was done outside the gate in public so that the visitors passing by and the people would see it naked, no cloth. No, there was no support or cloth, nothing. Oh, hey, my Lord. And he died, you see, and when you are breathing, imagine you can't. You can't breathe. He died of asphyxiation. So the pain, all for you and I, the blood flowed. And then the fire. Okay, let's continue. Then the spear pierced his side. Because in those days, which is also medically proven, if it's not medically proven yet, it means that they don't know yet that it's proof of death. But the Bible, God had prophesied in Psalm by David that no bone of the Messiah's body will be broken. He fulfilled so many scriptures. So, they had to be taken off, they had to be taken from the cross. The Pontius Pilate knew that, they was told that, look, they need to be taken out so that the land would not be accursed, because they were about to have the holiday. So they saw the first thief, broke the bones, because he was still alive. Then they saw Jesus as if he was, okay, he looks dead. Okay, second, let's move, let's kill those people and then test Jesus. This guy was still alive. How many understand what I'm saying? Broke the bones, the leg, because when you break the legs, there's no more support. So you go. But Jesus was too weak. Blood draining, too weak. Then, when they were about to get Jesus, they realized that no, Jesus, he's dead. Now let's prove it. They took a spear, which is also fulfilling scripture. They pierced my side. Hey, it's fantastic. He couldn't have manufactured that. If he wanted to pretend to be the Messiah, let me copy the Messiah so that people would think I'm the Messiah. How can in death, how can you tell people to pierce your side? Then they pierce the side in blood and water. Separate. The blood flowed on Calvary. And there's a saying that where Abraham sacrificed Isaac is Golgotha. Yeah, yeah. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. Eh? Yeah, I believe it's true. Yeah. Where he sacrificed Isaac. Yeah. It's fantastic. The blood flowed for you and I. This he did for our salvation. Revelation 5:9. So that's why the blood of Jesus removes every sin. You see, no matter what the devil brings your way, no matter the horror, that's why when the lady, hey, you get, okay, good, you have that verse. Imagine, true story, there's a half night, I don't know that it's Easter, one of these events, in Kolegono, where the QA, Lighthouse Chapel International at that time, UD, the headquarters was there. Oh, I think, sorry, it was Kodesh. We are going home. One of the people in the area, in the church premises, please, are you going to X, please? Yes, I'm going. I'll give you a ride. As they are going, they pass the cemetery. And when you get to the cemetery stop, in fact, the person first said that, oh, my stop is Awodome Cemetery. When she got to the cemetery, the doors were locked. She turned around to speak to the woman. There was no one in the car. She went home and cried as expected, in fear, and then called Bishop. Bishop went to the house. The only thing you can do is, because of the blood of Jesus, God's blood, for me, you and I, nothing in this universe can affect us. So they had communion. Such times you need communion because you are reestablishing your confidence in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It will clear away every evil. No matter, no witchcraft, no power, nothing. When the blood of Jesus is at your hands. Or you understand the blood. And they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. There was a time in heaven. Let's go to verse 4. There was a time in heaven that God the Father had a scroll. Yeah, in fact, let's start from verse 1. Had a scroll that would redeem mankind. But somebody needed to be worthy to open the seal for the salvation of man. But there was silence in heaven because nobody was found worthy in heaven anywhere to open the seal. And there was worry. Apostle John was worried. And then the Lamb of God came, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who had prevailed and was worthy and is worthy to open the seal. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. We reading good? And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to lose the seals thereof? Who? And no man in heaven, all the good people, all the Abraham, all these people, all the apostles, all the elders in heaven, the cherubims, the seraphim, the archangels, the dominions, the principality, no one in heaven, nor on earth or under the earth, no one in the universe was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Hey! Verse 4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. He wept. If you and I were there, we'd weep. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Yeah, you've just come. You don't understand. Just chill. Relax. Weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the beasts, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. We're going to verse 9. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. I said the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are stored somewhere. Our prayers don't go to waste. The prayer of the saints do not go to waste. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book. Let the kids be in sub, cool them down. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain. That's it. I said, thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And it goes on. Now, thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us. Now, to redeem, what happened? The reason why there's a need for redemption is that you and I were created in the image of God. God created Adam. Adam committed high treason, sold out to the devil, and because of that, he gave all rights to the devil. God said, I give you dominion over the earth, over everything on earth and the fowl of the air, meaning up to the highest bird, falcon, eagle, whichever one. The bird that soars the highest, I give you authority from the earth, the sea, all the way to that place. I give you authority and dominion, rule over it. He gave it to Satan, and now Satan became the ruler of this world. And because he was the ruler of this world, the world was captive to the devil. Look at Romans 5:10. The world became subject to the devil. How many get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The world became ruled by the devil. Apart from Adam, Moses, and these guys. I mean, Moses, David. But the word was ruled. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Verse 12. We use NLT. Very important verse. Romans 5:12, NLT. Well, by the time you finish reading it, you understand that death reigned. Death reigned in the lives of people. Satan ruled people. People could not but sin. Sin ruled over man. Sin had dominion over man. Sin controlled man. Man was a captive. Those who don't know Christ are in that boat now. They are ruled over by the devil. The devil does what he wants with them, up to what God will allow. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, the entire human race. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned from Adam. We're going to verse 17. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given. And though there was no law to break, since it had not yet been given. So sin entered before there was a law. But even though this happened before, there was no law to break, nevertheless, sin reigned. Verse 14. They all died. Anyway, even though they did not disobey an explicit command of God, commandments as Adam did. What a contrast between Adam and Christ, who was yet to come. Adam, Christ, the second Adam. And what a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but we have the free gift of being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Glory to God. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. Death is an entity in Revelation. Death ruled over us. Meaning that Satan ruled over people. People were addicted. There was nothing anyone could do to escape it, apart from those who had faith in God. In the Old Testament. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man. Glory to God, amen. Jesus Christ. So, death ruled people. And God saw the suffering of man. Yes. God saw that man is suffering, and after that, going to hell. Suffer on earth. Hell on earth and in the after death. And God said, no. I want to buy back mankind. I want to buy man back to myself. That's redeem. Redeem is to repurchase, to purchase back, to buy back. I want to buy man. And he bought man through his blood. That's why the Bible says we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. That's how we're redeemed. I said that's how we're redeemed. Amen. And that's why it's important to be in Jesus. Because without Jesus, we would have to live and fulfill the 10 commandments and the commandments of God. But the Bible says, by the law shall no flesh be justified. Meaning that no man or woman can fulfill the law of God. It's impossible. Because death is in man. I mean, the nature of sin is in man. That's before salvation. So the person who is not saved cannot fulfill the law. But you and I, even the saved person, needs to fulfill the law. Wow. Yes, I need to fulfill the law, and you need to fulfill the law. But Jesus has fulfilled the law for me, so I no longer need to fulfill it. It's an even exchange. Because he fulfilled the law for me. Hallelujah. So that I have fulfilled the law because I have faith in him. But the one who is not in Jesus, who is going to fulfill the law for him or her? They will have to fulfill it nevertheless. I need to fulfill it. I fulfilled it because I have faith in Jesus. Amen. That's righteousness, right standing with God because of my faith in Jesus. Amen. Righteousness is right standing with God. And all from the blood. Wow. All from the blood. That's what the Bible says. Abraham believed God. I think it's Romans 4:24. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness, and he became a friend of God. It was not credited to him alone, but it was credited to him for also our sakes. Romans 4:24, 23-24. How many are getting what I'm saying?
Yep.
And because of Abraham's faith, God declared him to be righteous. Verse 23. Now, this wonderful truth that God declared him to be righteous wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was for us too, assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe in God who brought Jesus our Lord back from the dead. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. That is the thing. That is why we are righteous. I'm righteous. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he did on Good Friday. Not because of what I've done, but because of what you've done. And not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the blood. What can wash away my sins? There are certain stains. Look, there's no soap in this world that can wash it. OxyClean will not wash it. There are certain stains. But the blood of Jesus can wash every stain. No matter the sin. No matter the sin. First John chapter 1, verse 5. No matter the sin. I said what? No matter the sin. He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. Do you know who reminds God every time? The devil and you and I. When we sin, we remind God because he's forgotten. The devil is the first person to remind God. Other fake believers. And us. Fake believers, because the Bible says that love shall cover a multitude of sins. The Bible says that if we are spiritual, Galatians 6:1, I don't need to turn to it. And 2, if you are spiritual, if a brother or sister is overtaking a fault, the spiritual people should restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering themselves, lest they also be tempted. But the Christians are judged. In fact, they should be titled Judge Dread. Judge Dread. Christians should be tight. We should give names to Christians now. Judge Dread. Judges. So the devil reminds God. Judge Dreads remind God. We remind God of our sins. But God has forgotten it. The Bible says, I have cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. As the east is from the west, east and west will never meet. They are infinitely far. So have I torn your sins from you. Wow. But, verse 5. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to close. It's very important. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But if we confess our sins to him, if I want verse 5. I want to start from verse 5. This is the message he has given us to announce to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. What is spiritual darkness? Spiritual darkness is not in the word and sin. When we are in sin and we are not in the word. In fact, the first spiritual darkness is if you are not in the word, you are in darkness. Because the word is light. And if you are living a life of sin, that's secondary. But primarily is the word, not in the word. Hallelujah. So, we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. Verse 7. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, which is his word, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Now, this is very important. If I sin and God just forgives me, praise the Lord. But the stain of the mark sin puts in someone still remains. It's like dirty. Imagine feces. You in Africa, they have these toilet bowls. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they have it here, but it's underground. That unfortunately, in some parts of Africa, it's not underground. Imagine there was a thief who was caught and they were chasing him to kill him. He jumped into the. Yeah, good. Keep this up.
He jumped into the bowl. Now everybody left. Everybody left. Nobody chased him anymore. Now, imagine sin puts a worse thing on us in our soul. It masks us. It dirties us. So if God forgives us, yes, we are forgiven, but we are walking around with debt. But he cleanses us from all unrighteousness means not only does he forgive us, but he removes that dirty stain from us. I thought you put your hands together for Jesus. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He cleans us from all unrighteousness. That's what Jesus does. Now verse 8. If we say we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. That's what the verse 8 will say. And the truth, verse 8, is not in us. If we say we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves, NLT says, and refusing to accept the truth. What does verse King James say? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful, verse 9, and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from only specific sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that Christ spoiled principalities and powers for us. Christ disarmed the enemy. It means that you and I must always remember, because sometimes how many people, sometimes the devil can make you almost try to tempt you to fear. Just a few of us. Me too. Sometimes a temptation. But when you remember the fact that demons were disarmed, if they were disarmed, then what can they do to you?
Nothing.
Colossians chapter 2. Glory. Colossians. What did I say? Colossians chapter 2. How many are in Colossians? Colossians chapter 2. Let's start from verse 13. This is. Let's look at the face again. This face is actually something that, if this face was side by side with Jesus' face, everyone would look at this face. Because this is nothing compared to Jesus' face. Is this a man? How many can say that this is a man? But we read the verse that says that he did not even look like a human being. So mad. Okay. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. We'll read a number of versions. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you your trespasses and sins, or your trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Glory to God. This is very powerful. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and nailed it to and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. Glory. Triumphing over them in it. We'll explain what in it means. Now I'm going to just explain verse 14 and 15 and we go. Or at least we conclude this message.
Verse 14. Now, this is important for the Christian to understand. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. NLT. How many want to know what this verse means? Very important. Phoebe, you want to know? Very important. Good. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. That's what I was about to explain. David, now in heaven, before I give my life to Christ, Satan will go to God. David, he did this. David did this. David fornicated. David insulted someone. David did this. David list everything. David lied. List. I knew how to lie and get away with lie. Because when you lie, people don't know how to lie. People who think they know how to lie, they don't know how to lie. When I was lying, when you lie, you have to make sure that you are able to back the lie and carry forward. And no matter what, and you have to be fast. When someone catches you in this angle, you have to be fast to lie to escape it. And I did it very well. Not realizing that I was following the father of lies by doing that. Because Satan is the father of lies. So it's not a good thing to know how to lie. But there are others who lie and can't track their lies. And they are found out easily. Easily. There are too many lies to keep track of. Now, David has lied. David fornicated. David did this. David did that. David lists everything. Now, what God did was took... So Satan has a legal document. Come get a sheet. If you have a sheet, any sheet, come. Of course, no, you are coming with a sheet. Just for okay. So list, okay. Come. Okay, so you just for pretend to be God, and unfortunately, you just pretend to be the devil, and then I'm David. List. David did this. David did this document, legal document. Yes. Yes. And I don't know that's happening, but that's happened. Every sin you and I have committed since childhood.
David denied that child was his.
Yeah.
David
knocked someone down. Yeah. Yeah. Now, oh, good, good. Very good. Now, these things should have caused me to be finished.
Yeah.
But God took it. And then Christ, who wants to be? Okay. Good. Okay, Christ. Yeah, anyway, good friend. Yeah, I think it's very good because Christ, the death. So, you're hanging. Take it. Nail it. Where is the hammer? Yes. Yeah. Very good. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Yeah. The Bible says, and I'll go back to the verse. Thank you. Let's clap for them. Yes, very good. And good. Now, the Bible says that, where's the verse? Blotting. Now, to blot out something is different from erasing it. Forensics, I'm sure they will have a way. When you write something, you blot, you clear it, they can catch you. They can see what was in it. Yes. When something is blotted out, it is as if it never existed. The Bible says that blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. So it means that every sin you and I have committed, it's as if we never committed them. I said it's as if we never committed them. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, took which were contrary to us, took them out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Nailing it. Look at NLT. Nailing it. Nailing it. Nailing it. That's what he did for you and I. He canceled it. The record that contained the charges against you and I. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. Verse 15. That's the first. The second. Ha! In this way, God disarmed. Hey! I said he what? He disarmed the rulers, the evil rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross of Christ. That's why the Bible says that if the princes of this world had known, if the devils had known the wisdom of God, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because by crucifying him, Jesus, Christ stripped demonic power from around us. Meaning that the power that held us captive was broken. So now, you and I, we no longer are ruled over by the devil. Because the devils are disarmed. What is an arm? Let me tell you what's happening now. Okay, so you and I are the Christian. In fact, Phoebe, come. Now, Phoebe is a small... In fact, Phoebe... Antoinette, you agree that you can... If you were fighting her, you can kill her easily. She can't... There's no way she can fight you. Take this. You don't know... No, take it this way. Take it this way. No. Hold it like this. Because you are going to point this to her back. Hold it properly. Yes. So, pretend it's a gun. Say, direct her. Go! I've got a gun! Put it there. Okay. Empty your pocket. So, a small girl like Phoebe. Control. So, go this way. Turn right. Take drugs. Fornicate and get some disease. Kill someone. Be an addict, heroin addict. Sniff. Be a drunkard. All these things. But say, no, I don't want to do it.
No, I won't do it.
Say, I'll kill you if you don't do it.
I'll kill you if you don't do it.
Say it.
I'll kill you if I don't do it.
I will not do it.
Say it. What, in fact, okay. Where is another mic? No, this is very important. This is what the devil is doing to you and I. Or trying to do to you and I. Yes, bring another mic. Phoebe, hold the thing properly and see. You are acting here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, do you understand what you are doing? You are controlling her. You know, you play. Yeah. So, tell her that she should... You are going to kill her if she doesn't follow your instructions.
I'm
going to
kill you if you don't follow my instructions.
I will not listen to you. Christ has given me the victory.
Before that... Say, I'll kill her. I'll kill you. Say it.
I'll kill you.
If you don't follow my instructions.
If you don't follow my instructions.
Please.
Thank you. Let's put our hands together for Phoebe. Good job. You are doing a good job. Kneel down. Please, I don't want to. So
please.
Resist, but please. Without Christ.
Please.
Kneel down or I have a gun. Kneel down or I'll kill you. Kneel down, I'll kill you.
Please.
Kneel down.
Oh.
Get up. Now, take drugs. I have a gun. Take it.
Okay.
Kill someone.
Oh, I don't want to.
I will kill you.
Okay.
Now, do you see what's happening? But turn around. You realize that it's not a gun. It is this. The devil has been disarmed. The gun has been taken away. But we don't know that he's been disarmed and he bullies us. He bullies us. Meanwhile, he's been disarmed. The word spoiled. That Christ spoiled. Spoiled is to make you useless. That's what he did on the cross. You can put your hands together for Antoinette and for Phoebe. All for you and I. He disarmed them. I said he disarmed them. You and I now have the victory. I said you and I now have the victory. We have the victory over the devil. We have the victory. Look at Romans 5:17 as we conclude. If by one man's sin, death reigned by one. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So at the point death reigned, Christ shed his blood for us on Good Friday. And if we accept and receive or lay hold of the abundance of grace, and we accept his free gift of righteousness, we are to reign in life. Look at Amplified. It even says it nicely. How many want to know the Amplified version? Now, act like this going forward. Not with people, but with the devil. For if because of one man's trespass, a lapse of offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and free gift of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, reign as kings. Ooh, I see kings and queens here. Hey! Reign as kings. Phoebe, king, king. You are to reign. A king reigns. A king decrees. A king commands. In the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, I will not accept it. Get out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I will not accept fear. Fear, you are not going to get to me. I resist you in Jesus' name. Satan, this problem is going to end. I will not accept this problem any longer. I reject it in Jesus' name. This particular addiction, it's finished. So far as I'm concerned, it's over because I'm reigning as a king. That's what this means. Through Jesus Christ. This Good Friday, may you and I make a decisive decision to make Jesus priority. Do you think God made you priority? Someone would have said, oh, he made others priority. If it was just me, he wouldn't have. So far as you are saved, look at Hebrews 9:22. If you are saved, and even if you are not saved, King James, for almost all things are by the law purged from sin. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Roman King James, for almost all things are by the law purged from sin. King James, almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Purged with blood. So it means that if it was just ivy in this world, only ivy, and Christ wanted to save her, he would have had to come and die for her. And the fact that she's saved means that he would have come. Because a soul is a soul and is precious to God. Jesus values one soul. The homeless man or woman who is rejected, who is diseased, who is dying on the floor. Christ estimates that person, one person, to be more valuable than the earth or the world. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It means that God was trying to say that, what is the point of gaining the world? The world's goods, the world, everything in there. What's the point of gaining the world and losing your soul? Jesus was trying to say, do you not understand that your soul is more valuable than anything in the world or even the world? So every soul is important. A soul is a soul and is precious to God. Every individual is precious. Every soul is precious. Jesus loves us. I said, Jesus loves us. For God so loved the world. You don't understand, Pastor. You are confused. You don't know what I've done. God hates me. That's what the devil said. God doesn't hate any person. God loves us. And he proved it by saying nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing in the universe can separate you and I from God's love. His love is wide. His love is high. His love can reach to the highest mountain, can go down to the lowest valley. His love is so great. His love is everlasting. What can separate us from His love? Nothing. Look at what God did to Jesus. The Bible says it pleased Him to bruise Jesus for us. As God was pouring the sin on Jesus and allowed the crucifixion and the death, He was thinking about you and I. He was thinking about you and I. As Jesus was going to the cross in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. How many have been in a situation so bad that you know it's for a few days? Maybe you are sleeping in a certain condition. You are in the but you know that it's just for a couple of days, and you are enduring it because you know that there's freedom soon. Jesus, the Bible says that looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, because He could have decided not to endure it. But He endured the pain. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the right hand of God. Shall we stand to our feet? May we give our life to Jesus. Our lives. So we'll sing "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated," and after that we will sing the song you sang earlier, "Take My Life." But before that, let's sing "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Oh yes, let's speak to the Lord. Let's just pray. Before we sing, you can play some instrumentalism. Let's just pray for a few minutes. Let's just pray for a few minutes before we sing. Let's just pray. Oh Jesus. Unworthy people for us. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave it all for us, Lord, even though we are undeserving of your love, Jesus. Thank you for the blood you shed on Calvary, Lord. Thank you for delivering us, O Lord. Thank you for setting us free, Jesus. Thank you for how far you have brought us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Some the cross.
So unworthy for our blood, Jesus.
The cross. Oh, Jesus.
Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, the cross.
Yes, I was brought thank here, you, God, Jesus. Because
yes.
Such pain for us.
Thank
you,
yes.
That you deliver us. Thank you,
yes. The love of God.
Your love that was written by my sin, O God. Your love, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Let's sing it with as a prayer. Sing it as a prayer.
Take my life.
Yes. Sing it with all your heart, like you mean it. And mean it. Mean it from the bottom of your heart. A bit faster. Yes. Again from the top.
Take my life and let it be consecrated. end my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move. The impulse of thy love, take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful for me.
Take my hands again.
Take my hands, let them move. At the impulse of thy love, take my feet, let them be swift and beautiful for me. Take my voice. Let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee.
Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Let's listen to the words as we hear, take my life. take my life. Oh, yes. Let's listen to the words and let that be a prayer. You can be praying whilst listening to the song. Yes.
I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the
church. Ask the Lord to give you that
now
grace.
Now I have a greater passion to love my Lord. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. God is so great, yet it seems so far. When I talk to Him, sees that He doesn't even hear. How can I love God whom I cannot see? But this is my dream, the goal of my life.
The dream. The goal of my life. Tell Him,
so take my life and let be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee, to love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more, fall in love with You so deeply. Lord, show me how to love You more. I don't want to serve without loving You. If any man really loves me,
yes,
he will keep my commandments. Lord, I am meditating on Your word so I can love You more. Lord, please help me to keep Your commandments. What have You told me that I'm not doing? Where have You said me that I'm not going? Am I holding back? I want to
Do you want to sacrifice more for Jesus?
For
Do you want to sacrifice more for the one who gave it all for you?
Loving you with all of my heart.
Take my life, Lord Jesus.
So take my life.
Take it, Lord.
And let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more.
Tell Him You want to love Him more. To fall in love with Him. Lord, show me how to love You more. Sing it as a prayer. Speak to Him. Tell Him. Tell Him you don't want to serve Him without loving. No, I don't want to do that, Lord. I don't want to serve without loving You. I don't.
Oh, God, thank You for loving me first. And also for choosing me first. I want to love You as hard as I can, cause You love me first. I want to be,
You want to be like Jesus,
just like Jesus. He who loves the Father so. I know that I has not seen and He has not heard.
On Good
the
Friday,
things that God has
tell the Lord
for those
that you want to love Him more. That you want to give
that
Him yourself.
That is why I want to love
yes.
You more.
Tell Him that it's to consecrate yourself to Him.
My life
yes.
And let it be. Consecrate, Lord, to Thee. All my days I give to Thee. To love You, Lord, is the great command. Lord, I want to love You more. Fall in love with You so deeply. But
show me how to love You more.
I don't want to serve without loving You.
I want to give anyone watching, anyone here, anybody, especially if you are watching, softly. Yes, you can sing, but softly. If you are watching and you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I don't know Jesus. I'm not born again. I have not given my life to Jesus. I don't even know what it means to be born again. But I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. On this Good Friday, I want to accept the free gift of eternal life. I want to accept the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be clean with the blood of Jesus. Then wherever you are, just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. If you want to say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I want you to pray with me. Then I want you to just raise your hands. Now let's all repeat after me, especially those whose hands are up. If you want to say, Pastor, I've tried it my way and I have not succeeded. And I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to love You, Lord. I want my sins forgiven. Then repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you
just as I am.
I am. I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe that He is the Son of God.
I believe that He is the Son of God.
I believe that You died on the cross.
I believe that You died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe.
That Your blood was shed, Lord Jesus.
Blood was shed, Lord Jesus.
For my sins.
For my sins.
I believe.
I believe.
That God raised Him from the dead.
That God raised Him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come into my life.
Come into my life.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
From all unrighteousness.
From all unrighteousness.
From today.
From today,
I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
From today,
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.